Can I bring something up to you? You mentioned it like 1 minute ago, and I've been getting a lot of pushback on this as well. You mentioned Texas A&M, and if you could get off the bat there with the win, what that would do as the springboard. I'm starting to take crap on my content because I keep referencing what a big deal that game is, what a big deal that night is, for all the reasons we all know, year three in the playoff and this and that and everything. And it's week one, SEC, all that crap. I'm already sick of talking about 6 months ahead. And I've been taking pushback, Mike. And the pushback is, John, all you're doing is building up Texas A&M into some monster. And I don't understand why you're scared of them. They're not going to be an elite team. And when you do these shows, talk about what a big game that is, you're pumping them up and you're giving them the respect they don't deserve because their roster's not going to be that good. Every time I bring that game up, I get a bunch of those messages. What, before I tell you my canned response to that, how do you respond to that if somebody approached you like that?
It's a huge game. It's a huge game. But no, Texas A&M ain't shit. Bulletin board material, don't care. They ain't shit. I do think when you look at a Texas A&M to kick off your season versus last year, just cupcake, 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 right? And then you play your first real game. Totally different scenario. Like, shit's getting real. It's baptism by fire, whatever slogan you want to use or whatever. So that's why it's a high stakes right from the get-go versus we played all these cupcakes. That's how I see it.
That's about right where I'm at. Because when I get pushed on that, I say the totality of that moment is why this is a big deal to me. All the different things, the perception in Notre Dame, how important it is to get off to a good start. It's week one, and if you lose, all your momentum's right away. You don't have any. All of this. I've been saying it's the totality of this big moment that I have seen Notre Dame fall short in most of my life. They have a prime opportunity in a big, important year to get off on the right foot and really calm the fan base down and really set us up for an exciting upward trajectory year. It's the totality of what that moment represents for where Notre Dame's at. In A&M, and Elko and the roster, they're a part of it, but they're only one part of it. It's the totality of all the stuff that goes into this barrel. It's a huge moment. And week one gets blown up, Mike. Week one gets more attention than any other week because when you're in the summer, everybody's looking to the first game. And so week one gets outsized attention no matter what. It's just a huge spotlight. It's a big, big moment.
Well, don't ever stop being you, John. You hear me? Don't ever stop being you. Because that's the one thing that you do in this Notre Dame football space that nobody else does. So we could sit down and break down the rosters and who's got the most blue chips and who was this scheme versus 11 personnel versus Elko scheme, yada, 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 yada. You know, you're thinking that you look at things more like, I guess, globally or whatever is the term. You're better at this than me. But you can't expect at this point, John, for people to see Notre Dame football things the way that you do, you know, where most people are going to break down statistics and it's like, no, there's always more to it than that. You know what I mean? And I agree with what you're saying. It is a big game. It's a big challenge for Freeman. It's a big road game. Last year, didn't do so hot.
Yeah.
That's another dynamic.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's
proving just, ground for him.
Oh man. It's one of those moments, Mike. I think about it all the time that sunset, the sky, and it's still hot where I live. And it's just that first football game. And like, I'm envisioning the whole moment and I'm just, all these people saying it ain't that big, it's going to feel big to them that night.
I mean, I played in some of those games, bro. It's going to be, how hot do you figure it's going to be that game?
Pretty damn hot. But it's the other thing is, Is it going to be a night game? That's not announced yet, but it probably be a night game. What do you think?
You'd have to look at the rest of the
schedule.
You'd have to look at the rest of the, you know, the other slate of games, but I'm going to assume it's going to be a night game, but maybe that's just us being Notre Dame fans. But if that's a day game,
ooh,
pardon my French, but that's going to be a motherfucker, dude.
Yeah.
That's going to be an absolute, that's going to be a tough game. If it's 100, whatever degrees down there with helmet on.
I mean, that's going to
be a tough game.
Can I ask you about the, you could tell me if this is ignorant of me or not. I don't know the answer.
Probably is.
Yeah. The question is, you're going to go down there in late August and then be surprised that it's fucking hot. Is it not humid as shit and hot as shit in South Bend all of camp in the dog days of August where you get no rain and it's just humid as shit? Or is it just different? Totally different.
Tell me you didn't play football without telling me.
I said I'm asking for a reason. So the game environment's totally different than anything you're doing in camp to prepare you for that kind of weather issue. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now it's probably different because they got like more technology and better nutrition and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, like, because again, my freshman year, I think we played A&M. And then we played in, you know, Nebraska, and Julius had that great punt kick return.
Yep.
Your boy sprung him. Watch the tape. But like both of those games were like very, very hot, where it's like, you know, yeah, it's hard to breathe.
Yeah.
And they, they're putting those, like, they put those like tennis hats in the ice water and they just throw that just to try to cool you down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, heat, you'll never appreciate it. Like the average person will never appreciate it. This is another thing I've always loved about football and fandom. It's like we all sit around to watch a football game and just eat cheese fries and drink beer, you know, like it's like we're like poisoning ourselves with food while we're watching like some of the greatest athletes in the world. Like it's always struck me as, you know,
it's America's favorite pastime, destroying your body and watching this fine athlete.
It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, that's stuff that people never appreciate. Like when you're, you know, heat's worse than cold. Like you'll see some of these freezing games at Lambeau Field. Like your hands might be a little cold, your toes might be a little cold, but you're moving around. That jacket keeps you warm. You're sweating underneath that sideline jacket.
So you would prefer cold over heat then as a player?
Not necessarily. But I'm just telling you, with a helmet on and pads and all that, and like, you know, you just naturally sweat. I mean, yeah, you're going to lose. I mean, it's going to be hot, but I like that heat because it like it'll make it more intense. Put it that way. It'll make it more intense. You know, you hit somebody, John, and their sweat,
the moisture everywhere.
You know, you hit somebody and their sweat goes on your face and your sweat goes on their face. It's crazy, you know,
man.
You know,
it's wild to think about it that intimate of like, but that's the situation. Like, oh man.
Yeah. Cause you would say like you're leaking out there. Like you are losing a ton of fluid, you know.
Telling you, man, you're giving me more things to think about with this game. Like we need any more. Jeez. I mean,
no, but they're going to have the advantage in terms of dealing with the heat. If it's a day game, half of those kids are Texas boys to begin with. I mean, they were raised in that stuff. So.
Yeah. I remember a story from this book called Frankly.
I want that for Christmas, by the way, John. Would you get me that for Christmas?
Yeah, Frankly and the Fighting Irish. And there's a story in here. I forget who it was. Texas A&M, somewhere in the South, real hot. Frank made a big deal about wanting to be closer to the band or the student section or flipping the side of the field. Frank made up something to go to the team we were going to as a visitor and ask if we could move our sideline down a little bit. There was something weird he came up with and they didn't think much of it. And this was the 40s and said, sure, Frank, whatever. And he wanted to move down a little bit and he came up with some bullshit reason. Sure enough, Mike, that fucking game comes on at noon and you start getting the sun and the shadows and Notre Dame was in the shade the whole afternoon, right in that rectangle Frank made. The way that sun came over, our guys were in the shade and the home team wasn't.
Yeah.
He thought of everything and he figured it out to position it so our just our bench would be blocked that sun out. I love that kind of gamesmanship.
Yeah, and he probably had 10 guys in the field too to boot. You know, what a guy. What a guy. But no, it's – yeah. So going back to your whole argument about is it a big game? Yes, it's a big game. Do we want – we should want it to be a big game. I don't see the. I don't see why you would push back, but like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. What's going on with these fans, John?
They think that me doing this is artificially pumping up like A&M's team or something. Like they're seeing me say that, and then they feel better about themselves. Like it almost comes off like it's like, John, quit reassuring A&M that they're going to be good and that this is going to be a game. And I'm saying, that's not my point. My point is the totality of this moment makes this a huge game for Notre Dame, and A&M's a part of it. But if we were playing Georgia, the roster would be much more of a main focus of mine. But we're not. We're playing A&M. Not scared of their roster. Don't like the whole dynamic because we failed in it my whole life.
Yeah, as we get closer and closer to the game, you'll do a deeper dive into the roster. But I'm going to, again, assume they've got speed. They've got dudes, man. I mean, all that money that's been thrown around, they got dudes. Now, I'm sure a couple of those recruiting classes that old Jimbo brought in, yeah, obviously have crumbled a little bit. But every recruiting class crumbles to a degree.
Especially these days.
Well, I mean, yeah, look at Notre Dame's recent history. Like a third of the players end up sticking or starting, you know. So – don't give them too much credit, but don't overlook them. Is it a huge game in totality? Absolutely.
That's perfectly fair.